Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Feggy, let's hit him big time.
I'm disgusted with this old sorry-ass team.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
It is Reaction Monday. And it is a day of glorious defeat. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Lots to cuss and discuss. 713-572-4610. If you want to join the party. Before we get into what happened yesterday, I just got to say, John.
Yes, sir.
I got to shout out the Houston Astros for an awesome 2020 season. We did not know it was going to happen. And I got to tell you, they've been to the ALCS the last 4 years. They've won the World Series one time. This was the second most satisfying end of a season that the Astros have had the last 4 years. And it's actually close to the World Series because I expected the World Series. I did not expect the Astros to do what they did, especially when they went down 3-0. So we got to salute the best team in town. And I got to say, I'm very proud of what Dusty Baker and all these guys put together. And put on tape and gave us some more memories. I'm very proud of these guys.
Yeah, and I'm proud of you for the post-game show every game, which was outstanding. It was the best post-game show in town by far on any medium. But we'll get back to the Astros for sure. But tip of the cap, certainly, for the effort there.
Now, do we need to tip the cap to the Texans? Because there's a lot of people upset with what happened yesterday, the way the Texans lost. Do we need to tip the cap to the Texans? Did you like what you saw? Or was that just a game that they had no business losing? What's your takeaway there? Because we're saluting the Astros. What about the Texans yesterday losing 42-36, allowing 600 yards of offense from the Tennessee Titans and wasting another Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt effort, who were both elite out there? Do we need to tip the cap to the Texans, or should we be pissed off here on Reaction Monday?
The answer is yes to both of those. I don't know. I'm sitting here. I was thinking, driving in, if I've ever had such mixed emotions about after a Texans loss or after a Texans game, for that matter. True mixed emotions today from me on the Texans because should have won it. Certainly a questionable call that you and I will both discuss. I think we land on the same side on this, but we'll find out. Horrendous defense. Literally the worst defensive performance the Texans have put on since, I believe, 2003 in terms of yards. Just horrendous defense. And a bitter pill to swallow losing to the Titans in that scenario when you had them flat out on the ropes, on their heels. That's half of the mixed emotion. The second half is Deshaun Watson looks like a stud again. He's found himself. They put 30 points up on the board back-to-back. There are things to be optimistic about for sure. J.J. Watt was J.J. Watt. Could not have done any more to help this defense. But then you go back to that. This is a team that has individual players that you feel like, man, you can do some stuff with those guys. But then the rest of the roster is so bad, like so very bad. We're not going to spend a lot of time on Bill O'Brien moving down the road, except when it comes to this. He left this club in a shambles. He left this roster in a shambles. You can look at it. You can paint it any way you want. This is a bad roster. I mean, awful roster in very key areas.
Especially on the defensive side
of
the ball.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, the defense has been neglected, and I don't know what I'm supposed to expect from this defense. You know, I'm hearing, you know, they let up this many yards. What the hell was I supposed to expect heading into this season?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't something that caught us by surprise. This defense isn't good. You have Brennan Scarlett, who I love the guy. We've had him on the show. He's a good dude, and I'd like to have him on my football team, okay? But this guy should not be a multi-year starter on an NFL defense. That's unacceptable. You're playing Brandon Dunn, who's been a backup for a long time. You can't stop the run. You let DJ Reader walk. You let Clowney walk. What exactly am I supposed to expect from this defense? And that's why I can't really get that upset at the defense, because it should come as a surprise to no one that this defense is doing what they're doing. It should surprise nobody.
This defense is truly bless your heart. Bless their hearts. It really is. Bless their hearts. They're trying the very, very best they can. Bless their hearts. They're doing the most with what they have. Bless their hearts. They're just not good enough. I know that's a horrible thing to say these days about someone or a team, but bless their hearts. They're trying. They're doing the best they can. Bill O'Brien is, until further notice, the trade that Bill O'Brien made is either the worst or one of the three worst trades in the history of the NFL.
It's a joke.
In the history of the league.
It's an absolute joke. If you were going to trade DeAndre Hopkins, like, try to get some help on defense. Don't take on one of the worst running backs I've ever seen. I want to get this out of the way. I want to get this out of the way because I don't even like mention the guy's name. From now on, I'm not even mentioning him by his government. Mm-hmm. Number 31 is the EB. That's what he is from now on. He is EB. I'm not calling him by his government. I'm not calling him by his name.
David Johnson, for those who are wondering.
He is EB. He is EB on this show from now on from me. I'm not saying his name. I am not saying his name.
What does EB stand for?
Enron back. He is the Enron back. He has stolen more money in this city than frickin' Enron. It is a disgrace that a guy that was third string last year for the Arizona Cardinals is on this team, and he's playing damn near 80% of the snaps. Yeah. It is an absolute disgrace. Even when the EB was making plays yesterday, he almost fumbled. He didn't even sell out in the goal line because he was scared. He didn't jump. He is a disgrace. He is awful. That is the worst trade I've ever seen, and it is sickening.
Yeah.
It is sickening that I still have to watch him play. Just move on. He's not going to be here next year. Just move on. Let me get a taste of Duke Johnson. Sign someone from the street.
Yeah.
I cannot watch this guy anymore.
Bring back Alfred Blue.
I would rather have Alfred Blue in his prime than the EB. 100%.
I'd rather have Alfred Blue right now.
And I'm supposed to be more articulate. I'm trying to be more articulate. I'm trying to add more nuance and stuff. But look, you can rip up the thesaurus whenever I'm talking about EB from now on. All right, you want me to give you some more words? You want bigger words for David Johnson?
Yes, give me some words.
Damn, I just said his name. Here are some words. Here's words so I can get more articulate. Appalling, atrocious, depressing, dire, disgusting, distressing, dreadful, frightful, gruesome, hideous, horrendous, horrible, horrific, horrifying, nasty, shocking, ugly, unpleasant, abominable, alarming, gross, grungy, offensive, raunchy, stinking, synthetic, unsighty,
synthetic.
And repulsive.
He's synthetic.
He stinks. He stinks.
So am I the only one on this island anymore?
No. I thought he could be serviceable. That guy stinks.
He's awful. But again.
Hey, it's David Johnson from the Houston Texans, here with my good friend Toro.
All right. Well, Toro's only got 350 less rushing yards than you do. Toro has Toro is within 350 rushing yards of David Johnson, Landry.
He might have more. He'd be running down the sidelines.
True. Official yards. Let's let this simmer a little bit. Let this bounce around your head a little bit. Wrap your mind around this, Loopholes. And if you listen, you are a loophole. David Johnson has 350 rushing yards and 78% of the snaps. Again, there are two backs in the NFL that have taken more snaps with the offense than David Johnson. Two. Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon. That's the list. He's got 78% of the snaps,
dude,
and 350 yards.
Dude.
Through six games.
I'm done talking about him, I think.
You look nauseous.
I'm just disgusted.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted by his presence.
Yeah.
I really am. Like, it'd be one thing if they signed him for the league minimum or something like that. They took on – he makes more money than Derrick Henry. Yeah. Let that sit in for a minute.
How many yards Derrick Henry had yesterday?
Over 200.
Do you think we, Figgy, do you think we gave Derrick Henry too much love last week when we were getting those texts?
I don't think we gave him enough.
Where are those texts? Where are those texts?
Where are
now?
Those people now?
Why don't you suck him off? God, why don't we get a room for you and Derrick Henry?
Y'all act like you want Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind it.
Yes.
Especially if you're going to be paying it back more than him.
God. Oh, my God.
Jeez, man. J.J. Watt didn't take this one too well
he
either.
He shouldn't have.
J.J.'s gone through a lot of adversity in his career. And just listen to J.J. Watt yesterday. Here's J.J. Watt talking about why the 42-36 L yesterday in Nashville was one of the toughest ones of his career.
This is one of the tougher ones I've had, this one. This one really hurts. It was offense played great. Offense played great. Gave us opportunities to win the game, and we did not finish the game on defense. We had multiple opportunities, and we didn't do it. And as the leader of the defense, I put that squarely on my shoulders. So this one is very difficult to take.
I don't think you should put it on your shoulders, no. 99. 99 was as good as you could have imagined. He had the strip sack. He was one of the guys that was stopping the run. Mm-hmm. So that's great. That's a nice gesture by J.J. Watts. But I don't think you need to put this one on you. There's not much more you can do.
There's more on this that we need to talk about. But the short version is this. J.J. pretty much told the world, I'm interpreting this. It wasn't that J.J. said this literally. He pretty much told the world, there's nothing else I can do. He did everything he could do. He did absolutely everything he could do. The defense is awful. Zach Cunningham, Justin Reed, J.J. Watt. That's your players that could start for other
Roby.
Teams. Roby. As well. That's it. That's 4 out of 11 that can play. That ain't enough, and that's not depth either. What I'm saying is this is, the big sweeping picture, as I always like to do. This is going to be a really fun team to watch, but don't start thinking they're going to do anything. Because Bill O'Brien, with one of the three worst trades in the history of the NFL, left this roster in a shambles, an absolute shambles. It's criminal what he did to this team. And Jack Easterby.
Don't let him off the hook.
Don't let Jack Easterby off the hook.
I know he's sitting there on the sidelines pumping his fist.
We're really blessed.
And all that. Yeah, we're blessed to have
you
the
can
EB.
Do, he can
Thanks
try
for
to,
the EB, man.
Jack Easterby can try to distance himself from this as much as he can. He can try. He can snuggle up to Cal McNair and kiss his butt and all this other stuff, but it ain't going to happen. Jack Easterby had his hands on one of the three worst trades in the history of the league that has crippled this team's chances of doing anything in the near future. But they're going to be fun to watch, so that's why I have those mixed emotions.
The offense, I think, there are some signs. The offense, I mean, you look at this. After 16 straight games without the offense scoring at least 30 points, they've done it back-to-back games. So
yeah.
There is that.
Yeah.
So we at least know.
Deshaun Watson is Deshaun again.
We know that Deshaun was handcuffed. We know that. That's been confirmed the last 2 weeks. So we know that whatever was stopping Deshaun Watson from doing what we expected him to do, it's gone and it's
right.
changed. Tim Kelly looks like a completely different guy. So that is one thing to be encouraged by.
If we're being completely honest, and we always are, there were moments at the end of Bill O'Brien's career here that I felt like I had to watch the Texans. I'm back to wanting to watch the Texans. And that's a big difference. I want to watch the Texans again.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, shout out to the Stros for going out like bosses. Shout out to the Texans for at least being interesting again, according to the OG. No shout out to the EB. You make me sick, dude. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you.
You make me sick.
Like to give a shout out.
The play everyone is talking about. Romeo's decision to go for two with under 2 minutes left had the internet going nuts. Was it the right call? We'll discuss next.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop
with Landry and Lopez.
They spread out the Texans, and they're going to go with the wild Henry. Henry is in the shotgun. Gets the snap. He's running left. Henry to the goal line. Wow. He's in. Game over. The Titans win.
Texans lose to the Titans, and a lot of people are connecting it to one decision made by Romeo Crennel. With under 2 minutes remaining, Texans take a 7-point lead after a Brandon Cooks touchdown. And then Romeo decided that rather than go up 8 with the extra point, he would go for 2 and go up 2 possessions and essentially end the game. Here's what it sounded like. Here's what went down after the interim coach of the Texans made that decision.
Here's the 2-point conversion try. Snap to Deshaun. Scrambling, throwing over the middle, and tipped it incomplete.
Man.
Titans go down. They tie the game. Rest is history. Did Romeo Crennel make the right decision?
He did. And not only can I say with authority that he did, based on my opinion and what I'm the feel that I had for the game, clearly that was the feel that Romeo had for the game, but his decision was proved right. Everybody who's talking about you should have kicked the extra point, go up 8, make them get into the end zone twice to tie, is forgetting the fact that you can have hindsight on this. The hindsight on this is very, very clear. They decided to go for 2, make it a 9-point game, ball game, done, over, huge win. Your mind might even start wandering a little bit and fantasizing about, you know, maybe they can make a little run like they did a couple of years ago. But that didn't happen. They didn't go up 9. It was a fluky type tip pass. I don't even think the guy got his arms up. It just kind of hit him on the neck or shoulder or something, but he was pressuring the quarterback. That's neither here nor there. What is true, though, is in retrospect, in hindsight, Romeo's decision to go for 2 was right. Why do we know that? Because the Titans immediately went all the way down the field and scored a touchdown and tied you. And then in overtime, they got the ball and went all the way down the field, and you never touched the ball again. So Romeo, it wasn't just like, wow, we're going to have to question that. No, he was right. What his hunch was, I would rather put the ball in my best player's hands for a chance to win the game than which, by the way, even without Deshaun Watson on the field, analytics will tell you that a 2-point conversion is about a 46 to 48% chance of being right, which is basically 50-50, right? Coin flip is what? 50-50. They get the ball, game over. He did 50-50 on that rather than 50-50 on the coin flip and trusted his guy. I'm glad he trusted his guy. It just didn't work out.
And, I mean, you saw the Titans on third down and the game-winning touchdown you just heard from Mark Vandermeer. That was a couple yards further than a 2-point conversion. They just snapped it to Derrick Henry and he mm-hmm. walked in.
Yeah.
I mean, I would rather trust Deshaun Watson in that situation than the defense. Romeo yeah. knows the defense. I think the decision was fine. And I think the Texans have an identity with Romeo that they didn't with Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bill O'Brien, he had no method to his madness. Romeo had made it very consistent. He's made it very consistently clear that on fourth down, they're going to go for it. They scored 2 fourth down touchdowns yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They went for it. Did you like that aggression?
Yeah.
Probably so. And then with the game on the line, that 2-point conversion, he decided to go for it right there. There'd be times where Bill O'Brien would – on fourth and one, up 21-0 against the Chiefs, he'd kick a field goal and then he'd fake a punt minutes later.
Yeah.
Or against the Ravens, deep in his own 30, he would go for it on fourth and one, and then when you're down 13 in the fourth quarter, he'd kick the field goal.
Yeah.
He had no yeah. line of thinking. The Texans
at least you know where Romeo's coming from.
You know where he's coming from, and you know what the mindset needs to be with a 1-4 team on the road. I had no issue with it. 713-572-4610 to get in. Here's the man himself. Here's Romeo Crennel, who we'll hear from live very shortly, talking about his decision to go for the kill.
No, well, I wanted to go ahead and get the 2 points and felt like that would kind of put it out of reach for them. If we had gotten it, we'd have been in much better shape. As it turned out, we didn't get it. They tied it up, and then we were in overtime. And then we didn't perform in overtime, and they win the game.
There we go, play-by-play. I didn't really get what you're saying there.
He didn't really explain it, but he did give you kind of a recap of the game of what happened.
But we get what he's thinking. We know what he was. We know what his line of thinking was, and I think we both agree with it. 713-572-4610. Here's J.J. Watt about the decision. And J.J., you balled out yesterday. You got to quit misusing this line.
That's above my pay grade.
No, it's not.
Did you like the call to go for 2 there?
I don't know. That's above my pay grade. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
You make more than the coach. Like, it's you make a lot more money than the coach. So, no, you can just say that's a coach's decision. It's not above your pay grade. You're making $16 million. I think Romeo's making
a couple mil. This isn't DeAndre Hopkins getting traded where, you know he doesn't like it. I actually want to know if he liked it or not.
Yeah.
Maybe he's letting us know there.
Who knows?
Doesn't matter. It was the right call.
713-572-4610.
Given the circumstance.
Let's go to Antonio. Antonio, you're on Reaction Monday. Go ahead.
All right, fellas. Two reasons why it's not Romeo's fault. Second reason is if the kicker missed the field goal. That's his only job, was to make field goals. He missed it.
The extra point, you mean?
Yeah, the extra point. I'm sorry. Yeah, the extra point. And the first reason is if we would have had Bill O'Brien, we wouldn't have even been in the game. And give it to Romeo for at least being aggressive and keeping us in the game. So, you know, this is not Romeo's fault. And another thing is, David Johnson, a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He's awful. The EB is awful. The Enron back is terrible. He is awful. That's a hell of a call right there. That is a hell of a call. The other thing about it is this. Look. You scored twice on fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
Touchdowns. You hit Fells.
You hit it. He was consistent with his aggression.
You hit Fells and you hit Cooks. So the aggression is the reason you were in that situation in the first place. If you settle for any field goal instead of going for it on fourth like he did, then we're not even talking about that situation. So the aggression's what got you there, so it might as well be what takes you home for better or worse. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Rick. Rick, you're on In the Loop on Reaction Monday. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, it's exciting to listen to you this morning because I was in the same situation as John. I hadn't watched you guys since the beginning of the year because it was just trash. And it felt good to see the aggression back. Romeo made the right decision. I mean, if he would have made that extra point, he wouldn't have been put in that situation. But he went for the win, and that's what we want. We're not here to lose. We're going here for the win. I had that conversation with my wife. We were watching it. That dude did get his hand up. He hit the ball.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell for sure, but I hadn't looked at the replay.
Jeffrey Simmons, and by the way, if you listen to this show, you heard me talk about Jeffrey Simmons coming back, and Jeffrey Simmons is the one who tipped the ball last year against Deshaun Watson, and they got the interception in the red zone.
And he added something there that I didn't include when I was talking about why it was the good, aggressive, good thing, right thing to do for Romeo. Kymie Fairbairn missed an extra point. If you don't think that's going to be dancing around in his head a little bit, when he had a chance to kick it and go up eight, that was a factor as well.
713-572-4610. Texans Bill, always funny on Twitter. Here was Texans Bill talking about the decision that Romeo made.
I ain't going to say it was the right call, but I love the call by Romeo to go for two down there. Put the ball in your best player's hands and put the game away. Because he knew more than any of us, and we knew what was going to happen. Titans weren't going to run some regular drive. They only had a minute and a half. Where they hand the ball off a little, then dink and dunk, and then maybe a little deeper. Tannehill was just going to sit back and slice and dice that secondary's ass. And that's exactly what happened. And then we weren't going to stop them for two. I don't care who was running the ball. Probably would have been that big motherfucker with the horse hanging out the back of his head. Further, Romeo Crennel just took over an 0-4 team a week ago. This isn't down the line, end of the year, fighting for the division. Ain't nothing to lose. I'm not mad at all. I love it. Go for the damn win. Get nothing to lose. Fire Tom Herman.
713-572-4610.
A little drive-by right there at the end?
A little bit of a drive-by, I would say. I agree. Steve, you're on In the Loop on Reaction Monday. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. I'm all for the going for two. The only thing I'm not for is it seemed like little Bill O'Brien creeped into the OC's headset there, and they tried that reverse pass with the receiver
with Cobb.
I didn't think,
I
didn't think it was a very smart idea, especially if you want the ball in the best player on the field. You don't give it to a receiver to throw the ball. My next thing is, you know what? He is right. Go for two. Even Romeo knows that the defense couldn't stop anybody. If you notice, I don't know if you noticed during the game, they showed up, they viewed over to Romeo, and Texans hadn't even made it to the 10-yard line yet, and he walked over to the OC and said, "Let's go. We're going to go for two." So he had that planned way before they even scored.
Sure.
Another thing is I don't know if Bill O'Brien, and maybe you guys do since you're closer to him, did he instruct Watson not to run, and because there was many times that Watson had he had the opportunity to run and kind of threw a little dinky 5-yard pass. What is it? Why are we not letting Watson run? And I'll hang up. The
Well, he's been conditioned. I don't know if he was saying if he's been told don't run. But one of Bill O'Brien's big things was he wanted to turn him into Tom Brady. You know, make him a pocket passer, or, you know, plant your back foot and get rid of the ball. That was not hard and fast. As we all know, you know, Deshaun Watson did have huge, impressive plays where he sort of got out of the pocket and made the throw. But by and large, I think he was mostly just conditioned to be that. And now it seems like he's a little bit freer to do other things.
So it seems pretty like a popular notion that Romeo made the right decision. Let's hear from the man himself, though, on Reaction Monday. Romeo Crennel meets with the media types. Texans 1-5, and they're going to be facing a very angry Green Bay team on Sunday. We'll hear from Romeo. We'll keep the reaction going next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Reaction Monday continues here on Sports Radio 610, presented by Coors Light. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, Romeo Crennel decided to go for the kill. What does he have to say for himself following the Texans' loss and the Green Bay Packers coming to town on Sunday? Here is Romeo Crennel. Romeo, you went for two. Did that have to do with your confidence in Deshaun Watson and the way that the defense looked?
Well, it had a lot to do with it. You know, the offense, second half, they came out and they were moving the ball well, and we got ahead in the game, and we were making plays, and then we were down there close, you know, so felt like that we had a great opportunity to put the game away if we could get that two-point conversion.
Your run defense, you've coached some great run defenses with the Texans. You've been as high as third in the league, and now you're last again. What has gone wrong since the 10th game of last season, and what can you do to not make as many mental mistakes and, of course, physical errors?
Well, John, we're trying to figure that out, and we're meeting on that today, and during this week, we'll see if we can come up with a better plan than what we have. Maybe we have to cut back on some of the things that we're doing to keep the mental errors to a minimum. And then the physical part of it, I think we have guys who can play physical football. Sometimes we don't always do it. But so we have to focus on those two areas and see what we can come up with.
What can you say about Bradley Roby's play? I know he got y'all's first interception of the season yesterday. And even on that play with A.J. Brown, he was all over him. What have you thought of Bradley Roby this season?
Well, Roby's been pretty consistent as far as his coverage is concerned. He's a good cover guy. And we usually put him on what we consider to be the best receiver. And he's done a decent job this year of shutting that guy down, or maybe not shutting him down, but they don't throw to that guy as much, you know, because he is competitive and usually he's on the guy. You know, every once in a while he'll miss the leverage or be a step or two out of position and the guy make the catch on him. But overall, I think he's done a nice job versus the guys he's been assigned to cover.
What do you feel like are some of the tangible things you want to do as far as trying to, you know, improve the record and also develop and try to evaluate some of the younger players on the roster? How much is that a balancing act as you guys go forward here with you being in the situation at 1-5 now?
That's never a situation you want to be in, all right? But still, I think the objective is to try to win as many games as you can win. And generally, you win with whoever you consider to be your best players. Now, I know that there are young players on the roster and people want to see what they can do. But a lot of times young players are still developing. And when they are still developing, you know, they are trying, but they make mistakes. And so if you have young players making mistakes and you got veteran players making mistakes, then you give up the kind of yardage that that we give up. And so we have to see what we can do to cut down on the yardage that we give up to give ourselves the best chance, because if the offense keeps going in the direction they're going, you know, if we can do anything defensively, then that'll help our chances.
It seemed like when the offense began to click, you guys rack up some points. You emphasized the passing game a lot and played, you know, with a up tempo. What do you think in terms of balancing run, pass, just where you are right now, the identity of the offense? It seems like you've had the most effectiveness throwing the football and running the ball as men.
Well, excuse me. You know, sometimes you do what you're hot at. And sometimes in the game, if you're hot throwing the ball, you know, you continue to throw it because you can gain yards a lot quicker, move the ball down the field faster. And a lot of times if you're facing a team who bunch up against the run to a degree, it's harder to run the ball, you know, and we tried to run it some and we gained some yards, but also we didn't make as many yards that maybe we wanted to make in the running game, but we were making it in the passing game. So we stayed with the passing game a little bit more.
Romeo, yesterday, JJ talked a lot about how y'all would do really well on defense for certain plays and then you'd give up a big play. What do you think is the reason for that inconsistency and how can it be addressed to fix it in the future?
Well, we've talked about it a little bit during the course of this year of what's been happening on the defensive side as far as it relates to the running game. And a lot of it has to do with gap integrity, tackling. I think those are the two biggest areas that we miss tackles and then we are not disciplined enough to stay in our gaps when we need to.
Romeo, JJ said yesterday that we did not finish the game on defense. As a leader of the defense, I put that squarely on my shoulders. What do you think about that coming from JJ?
Well, JJ is one of the leaders of the defense, and it's nice that he says that, but I'm the head coach, and the buck stops at my desk. And so I'm the reason that we ended up losing that game. And so I think that that's the way everybody's going to look at it eventually down the road. If that were not the case, you'd be talking to Bill O'Brien right now. And so when you lose, you know, nothing really good comes of it. And it's great that JJ said that, but it's not his fault. It's my fault.
Romeo, every week you and Anthony talk about the gap control. Is that mental or are they getting knocked out of their gaps by the blockers?
Well, a lot of it is mental. I mean, you know, sometimes if you're in that tough situation, John, and you got a double team, for instance, and if you are light of size and trying to stay at the line of scrimmage versus that double, it's hard, it's tough. And so if you're not mentally strong, you have a tendency to want to get off the block. And sometimes our guys have that tendency to want to get off the block, whether it's a double or whether it's a single. And many times when it's a single, it has to do with where the runner is. And if they think they can make the tackle, then they'll get off the block to try to make the tackle. But then when they do not make the tackle, that opens up the seam to give a good runner an opportunity to get started. And like we talked about during the week with the runner, Henry, that we were facing, if you get out of the gap and he gets to the second level, then that's when he becomes really dangerous. And I think that's what we saw yesterday.
Vernon went back in the game after it looked like he had dinged up. How is Vernon and Lonnie Johnson today? Did you have an update on them, either one? What happened with them and just kind of where they are, their status?
I think Vernon got banged in the knee a little bit. We'll have to see what they say about that. And then, you know, Lonnie kind of got kicked in the face. And so I think that they're checking him out. They checked him out at the game, and then they're going to check him out today. And they'll let us know what they think. And at this point, I haven't been told anything different than, you know, he got kicked in the head.
Brandon?
And also, Coach, I guess another injury update. I was curious about Gerrion Conley. Is he any closer? I guess a couple of weeks ago, we were told he was a ways away. You know, if he's any closer to coming back?
He's trying to get back, but I don't think that he's where we need him to be right now. You know, he's had second opinions, and they haven't been able to pinpoint anything definite. So we'll have to see how he does and if he can get back.
Sorry. Romeo, the last two games, you scored 30 points. Watson's had 300 yards. You've gone 16 games in a row without scoring 30. How much of your offense right now is to do with Deshaun and the way he's finally meshing with all these new receivers?
Well, you know, our offense has been about Deshaun ever since he's gotten here, because he's a playmaker and he has the ball in his hand on every snap of offense, and he can dish it to whoever he needs to dish it to. And then when he gets in trouble, he's able to get out of trouble, you know, with his feet and his instincts. So I'm excited that he's gotten 300 yards two games in a row, and hopefully we can keep that rolling and keep him active, because I think he gives us a good chance.
You have another one, John?
I was going to ask you one more about, now that you've had a lot of time to think about that two-point conversion, and obviously you wanted to win with or lose with on Watson having a ball in his hands, do you have any regrets? Or if it came up, would you do it again the same way?
No, John, I think I would do it again, because you know what? You're on the road against a division opponent who is undefeated, and if you could get a two-point conversion, you shut the door on them and you win the game. And I think that when you have that opportunity, if you want to win the game, you go ahead and you try it at that time. And so we had a guy open. Unfortunately, the ball got tipped and we didn't make it. And then, you know, they were able to put it into overtime and they got to coin flip and then they win the game. But I would do it again, because I think it was a good choice.
We'll go last one for Brandon.
All right, Coach, since John asked one about yesterday, I'm going to ask one more about yesterday. What about the A.J. Brown touchdown at the end, toward the end of regulation? Do you think maybe a timeout would have been good there for the defense? Or did you just kind of – I mean – Were you surprised that they didn't spike the ball, first of all? Did you think they were going to spike the ball, and were you maybe surprised that they went with a play there?
Well, you know what? Their offense, they feel good about their offense and what it can do. And in watching tape in these situations, they've had the ball and they drive it down and they try to get points on the board, you know? I thought with Brown, we had pretty good coverage on the guy. And sometimes they don't see the same thing I see, but when they make the call, they make it, and there's not much I can do about it, you know. But we're just going to try to keep competing and see if we can get a win.
It's Romeo Cannell,
thanks, Coach.
Texans coach. Appreciate you, Romeo. Texans lose 42-36. You heard the question about the A.J. Brown touchdown. It wasn't a touchdown, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know what these replay guys watched.
It was right there, man. No, no.
His knee was down.
It was way too close. And how come you're the only one that knows that?
I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of the call on the field. That being the decision when replay, when stuff reviewed. If you just watch that, it's clearly not a touchdown. But we have trained ourselves and we've conditioned ourselves, and replay officials have conditioned themselves to where the call on the field basically gets the tie. So you're watching it through those lenses. The reason we need replay in the first place is because the calls on the field aren't accurate and you want to get them right. So I don't understand why when you look at something, you have to approach it. And I do it, and this is what we're trained to do. And that's the reality of how replays are looked at, but it should be a clean slate. You look at the replay, you don't have a predetermined notion about what it was, and you decide, was it a touchdown or not? And I think if you just look at it, you can see his knee was clearly down and the foot was up, but we approach it as if the reason that we have to do this in the first place doesn't exist, and they get the benefit of the doubt.
Look, while I agree with your premise that you should be able to have a clean slate, if it was clearly down, they would have reversed the call. It was not clearly down. If it was clearly down, it would have been reversed. Well, it was so, so close. I watched that
thing.
I think
the reason that we're saying that, though, is because we know what the call was.
No.
And the call always
I agree with your point on people are preconditioned to think whatever. I guess we don't know, so it's a tie. That happened. No, what you're saying there absolutely happened. If we're not certain, then I guess we got to go with the call on the field, because those guys were right there on top of the play, which makes sense. I would trust those guys. If it's that close to me on video.
If you trust those guys, you don't need replay.
No. But you're missing my point. If I would go to the video, And if it, as you said, was clearly down, then it would have been reversed. It wasn't clearly down by any stretch.
I think
I looked at it. I even went to the DVR. Not only did I watch the replays, I went and I tried to press pause on my DVR, and like the tip of his toe of his shoe was like right there as his knee was kind of going down. I'm like, I don't know. It could go either way. So that's why they went with the call on the field. And no, it wasn't a good feeling, but it wasn't a good clear indication either way. But because it wasn't clear that he was down, you have to go with the call on the field.
I just think we have to eliminate that whole mindset. I think the replay official makes the call, and that's the call. So I don't.
I agree with that.
It's just weird. It just seems kind of bass ackwards, if you will. 713-572-4610. Reaction Monday continues. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I appreciate y'all having me on. I just want to touch on something. Let's be honest. Romeo Crennel is an interim coach, and the Texans have been struggling. And, we want to see him go forth. There's not much to lose. But with everything else, there is percentages. The percentages of them going down and scoring a touchdown with that small amount of time is pretty low. The percentage of them getting a two-point conversion is even lower. So you take both of those. If I got my head coach, we're in the season, we're in the game, and we got a shot at it, go ahead and kick the extra point. Make them do the work. Make them have to make.
If we were doing this, I appreciate it, but if we were doing this on a spreadsheet,
I don't think the percentages. I don't know where. The
well, no, I saw something that Titans. it's like 46%.
Where do they get that?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I saw.
Is Derrick Henry going against the Texans defense?
No. I'm talking about the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Just in general, a 2-point conversion is about 46 to 48%.
But there's nothing general about what Derrick Henry was doing to that Texans
defense. That's my point with him. You know, there is nuance here. If you were just looking at it just on a play sheet, then you go, okay, 46% of the time they can get a 2-point conversion. Let's make that. What are the percentage of a team getting the ball and going down the length? We're not talking about the actual paper, the actual screen, the pixels on your laptop that tell you what the percentages are. This is where feel and knowledge of what's going on comes into play. There was no way in hell the Texans were going to stop the Titans. And then there was no way in hell they were going to stop them again after the coin flip. And how do we know that? They didn't. I mean, you know, his hunch, his call, actually was proved correct. They didn't stop. The Titans did score, and then they didn't stop him after the coin flip.
713-572-4610. Reaction Monday. Sam, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Man, the last caller. Dang it, boy! Did you not watch the game? How are you gonna say the percentages when you saw it live on TV? Bill O'Brien took away the two best run stoppers in this team, DJ Reader and Clowney. The fact of the matter is our team is broken on defense, and our offense has to repair it, but our offense can't repair it because our coach ain't there, and we ain't got no coach because Bill O'Brien, it's a full freaking circle, boy.
Scott, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the only way you don't do that 2-point conversion is if you have four J.J. Watts that can two be in the middle, two on the outside, so you can guarantee that you're going to stop that run. They weren't stopping them ever.
Exactly, and I mean I don't see how you can say that they shouldn't have gone for two and watch the final play of the game.
Right,
a 2-point conversion is like near the 2 and 3 yard line. They were on the 5 yard line on third down. And they just snapped it to Derrick Henry, and he just walked in. That right there is proof that the Texans made the right choice. And furthermore, and I think it goes back to this, they scored two touchdowns on fourth down.
Yeah.
The aggression was how
Romeo
they were
was
even
consistent
in that
with his aggression.
He had a method to his madness, which is something that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah. Like people could say, would you be doing this? And I saw our friend George over on the Bowl tweeted a response to me. He said, y'all would have killed Bill O'Brien for this. Well, no. We would have if he didn't go at 4th and 4th down earlier when it was obvious that he should have. You know, it's what you're talking about, the inconsistency. At least because we killed him when he faked the punt. But you know why?
Because he kicked a field goal minutes before it in
Kansas
City.
Exactly. He was just like all over the board.
Or in Baltimore, you go for it in your own territory on 4th down at the 30. And then when you're down 13 in the fourth, you kick the field goal to cut the lead to 10.
But clearly, Romeo had told his team with his actions and maybe even his words, we're not going to shy away from, you know, being aggressive in this game. And they didn't, and it paid off for, what, two touchdowns ultimately with his aggression earlier? So he was aggressive on that. No problem with it.
No problem. 713-572-4610. It is Reaction Monday. Now, this is the move that we're talking about, Romeo's decision to go for two. But there was a move that nobody was talking about before this morning.
You got
to
hear this.
That has me thinking, Mike Vrabel might have a little Bill Belichick in him. We'll break it down next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.